The explosive new film, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, exposes secrets behind the government's takedown of General Michael Flynn.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
He told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire. They had to get rid of Flynn.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.
Hola, welcome to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club with your host, the man from the land of Lincoln, Lincoln Heights that is, David Hernandez, and from the city of San Fernando, Jeffy Gerdenti. You heard it right, Hispanic Republicans. Why? Because brown is the new red, Republican red. So listen up and hear what being a Republican is really all about. Faith, family, and free enterprise. It's time to wake up and see how the chorizo is made and smell the menudo. And who knows, you just may be a Republican after all.
Well, here we are. Happy New Year's Eve, Jeffy.
Happy New Year's Eve.
And everybody, you're listening to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club. This is our New Year's Eve show. We have some fantastic people dropping by for New Year's Eve. And, you know, Jeffy, we've only got about, little less than 4 hours left of 2022. Are you going to miss anything in 2022?
2022 wasn't that bad of a year. I hear all these people going, oh, it was terrible. It was terrible. I don't know. I didn't think it was that bad. We got a few people elected. We ran a lot of really good campaigns. People got out there. We had less seats unopposed than we did the last election. Mm-hmm. So I don't know how it was bad.
Well, unfortunately, we lost the sheriff at that race. So, you know, good luck to the new sheriff, Luna. And what other race? One of the good parts, you know, a lot of people are going to focus on the bad, but that's over.
That's why I'm not focusing on the bad.
Well, but some of the good parts is...
Alex Villanueva hasn't gone anywhere. I mean, people think, oh, he's not the sheriff. He's going... No, if you've been listening to his lives... Uh-huh. He's thinking governor, he's thinking sheriff, he's thinking LA County Board of Supervisors. He's not going anywhere. He's very clear. Mm-hmm. If you want to escape California, you're not going to escape it for long because whatever happens here will go there. So you need to sit here, you need to sit tight, and you need to fight. And you know what? I mean, I think that if you want to see what he's up to, go to at Alex Villanueva 33 on Instagram. And mm-hmm. he's got a live every Wednesday at 11 o'clock. I can't catch it because I'm working, so I get to mm-hmm. go back and look at it. Sometimes if I don't have a client or I have a client that's like on our team, I'll play it live and they're like, I had no idea what's going on. He's still talking about the Board of Supervisors. He's still mm-hmm. talking about all the nonsense
that
went on.
Where does he live?
I believe he lives in San Gabriel.
Oh, so that would be... he could run against Catherine Barger.
There you have it.
After all, she did support Luna.
After all, she was on his team and not on his team.
And she supported Huggy Bear over you.
You know, and she's not support, and she's not really...
She's not Mike Antonovich, quote unquote.
But she's also not... She's not standing the Republican line that she's registered in. She's really mm-hmm. gone more of the woke ways. And so now we have an entire board who is shuffling in everything they ever wanted.
Mm-hmm. And unfortunately, that's happening at the city level with our new mayor. We have Project Room Key number 2 now in place with the state of emergency and all sorts of great things.
So let's talk about that. So you've got mm-hmm. Room Key number 2. We need to find housing. In the meantime, I just was saying before we came on air that our Facebook people got to hear is that we have naked people. Everyone is posting different naked people all over the city of Los Angeles on Instagram running around naked. I'm like, what's going on?
Naked people at least?
I don't think anybody running around naked is attractive.
Well,
I
mean,
some people you don't want to see naked.
Like someone homeless who hasn't taken a shower and hasn't wiped in all the places they should have. I just don't think you need to see that.
I don't want
to
end 2022 with that visual.
That's what I'm saying. You brought it up with, you know, Room Key Emergency number 2. I find it interesting that we had so many people that were so against Alex Villanueva, the sheriff at the time, for calling an emergency on homelessness. And, of course, we get the new Bass in office, And within, what, 2 weeks, she's like, oh, we need an emergency for homelessness. I'm like, oh, okay, here we go.
Well, and what
his ideas were horrible when he had them. Now they're going to be great that he's gone.
Well, you know, and what that does for the mayor, just like for the governor, when you create a state of emergency, you supersede people's civil rights, you know, under the abundance of caution, you know, with whether it's a medical emergency coming from the county or from the governor's, and we can.
Well, speaking of, didn't they also, I think she has another thing up her sleeve with that emergency, because let's talk about all the hotel motel.
Oh, right.
That are now going to be forced to turn in their time. How many rooms do you have at 2 o'clock vacancies? Because we've got people that are going to fill those rooms for you.
And that's not, and they haven't been clear. Is that overnight, like an overnight shelter, or does that mean they stay there until they build permanent housing for them?
So my question to you is, when they do that, you have people that clean those rooms.
Mm-hmm.
What are you going to do with them? Because if you're someone who's a room cleaner, how safe are you going to feel to go into a room of someone who's homeless that probably has a long record of God knows what? Because
either drug abuse, mental abuse,
physical abuse. So now you've put hotels, their workman's comp is going to go through the roof.
Well,
it only is going to take one crazy person with a knife in a hotel room that Bass put them in to attack the room cleaner. And who's going to be liable? Who's going to be liable? The city of Los Angeles, because it's not – the hotels are going to be held responsible. The hotels are then going to have to sue the city of Los Angeles, and hopefully we're going to end up with some judges that are going to side on their side. But in the meantime, if I owned a hotel right now, I'd be selling my hotel.
Well, and wouldn't hotels have a fiduciary or a responsibility when people call to make reservations?
How many homeless people will be on my floor this
evening?
Well,
not only that.
I think I will be leaving.
Can just have a blanket classification of unhoused, or can it be recently released from state prison? Because a lot of the unhoused are released from state prison because they didn't want them to catch COVID.
Okay, so if I was a hotel owner, you know what I'd be doing?
Closing.
I would be telling everybody that was booking a room, if you book at 159, we'll give you a $50 discount.
That
I have no vacancies come 2 o'clock.
Book in advance.
If you book at the last minute, I'll give you a great discount, because I'd rather have a paying customer that I know is not going to trash my room versus a homeless person that I may never get out.
Every place could be the Bates Motel.
Well, and now I don't know if any – we didn't talk about this last week, but I don't think people realize – that I believe it is, I forget which city it is, it's a county here in Southern California, that they passed, their LA County Board of Supervisors passed a law that says if you own an apartment building or a personal home that you rent out, you are no longer legally allowed to look up their record of incarceration.
Speaking of that, what a great segue, because we have in studio, we have Claudia and we have Ben. And Claudia, didn't I see a recent posting about a state senator who, and the bill is going to be signed where the criminal record is going to be sealed?
Right, yes. It's supposed to be for once they serve up to 4 years, so they have a clear slate as far as any past convictions of criminal.
Okay, and for those of you that don't know that voice, this is Claudia Agas.
Agas, yes.
Agas, and you just ran for state?
State Senate for District 26 in Northeast Los Angeles, Mid-City, Las Feliz area.
And you're from Lincoln Heights, right?
I'm from Lincoln Heights, but I actually grew up in Elysian Valley, Frogtown.
Oh, good God. Well, that's a subject for a whole nother show. We won't get into that tonight. And Ben, thank you for coming back and spending your New Year's Eve with us. So obviously the four of us have no life, because here we are sitting in a cubicle.
I don't know. I have a life. I just had a commitment to be on a radio show.
Yes, exactly. Well, actually, we do have a life, but we decided to put it on pause because there's much more important things that we need to keep
on top of. Go over this law, Claudia. What was this law? I didn't see your post.
It's Bill 731, and it's supposed to be clear.
Is it an SB bill? AB bill?
Yes, SB bill. It's bill was drafted by Maria DeRosso, and it's to clear up anyone's past criminal record for past 4 years for nonviolent, I believe. But you know, who's to say?
Well, but there's the key.
Yeah, but the key is they've changed what nonviolent
right.
is.
Right, that's exactly the point. And on there, apparently, it's also domestic violence. And one Democrat senator, I guess, voted against it, and the other ones were Republican. But again, across the board, it doesn't matter if you're harming anybody, any of these felons. You know, if it's again, you know, really stuff that's really dangerous criminals that are being let out, you know, one wants to be know that, you know, who they're hiring or whatnot. I mean, it's just, it's difficult nowadays because everyone's just having, you know, soft on crime.
Well, but and that's a problem because that goes back to what Prop 47, AB 109, yes. Prop 57 is where they declassified certain crimes. Sex with an unconscious person is no longer a violent crime.
Right.
And so there's all these different crimes that people are going to commit, and people are people who have a responsibility for the safety of their employees, like we were just talking about.
Yes.
You know, you have people that hotel workers or different things like that, and
right.
so you're going to hire other people that are on the appearance based on this law that you don't know what's really in their path, and it's kind of sounds like, well, you know, they've paid their debt to society, you know, they did the crime but they served the time, and that's BS. But because of those bills like 47, is that they didn't do their time, they were released. And it was a retroactive where all these felonies were changed to misdemeanors. And I think 25,000 of them were let out of state prisons is why we have so many people.
Well, but let's talk about who was behind that and who supported that. That was our DA.
Mm-hmm.
And so I don't know if anybody has been following John McKinney, who is an ADA? Is that what it is? DDA?
Yeah, Assistant ADA. District Attorney.
Yeah, at ADA. And so on his website, which I strongly suggest people go to, join it and get the updates. It's called Proportional Justice. And this email went viral nationally. And it was written, it's called One Last Email, and it was written by Mark Burnley, who was a colleague of his at the Los Angeles County District Attorney's Office for the past 23 years. This email that he wrote to Dear Mr. Gascon was absolutely unbelievable about all the things he had to say. And as there's also a lawsuit going on about what is going on in the LADA's office that many of them are involved in. And so hopefully we're going to be able to get Mr. Burnley on the air, because I would love to get him on to talk about what he went through and his email. I mean, here he is, a very decorated ADA. I researched his cases and some of the cases he got overturned and some of the things that he talked to a judge. And the reality is he's a very moderate man. Mm-hmm. His legal position is very moderate. He does believe that there's reform. And in that email he talks about, I believe we should have reform. There's no question, but not the reform that you're proposing. These are reforms that we need to be doing. So I highly recommend go to proportionaljustice.com and look up the One Last Email is the name of it. And Fox News reported on it. I think the LA Times even reported on it. I mean, it really got some major, major, major news.
He must have had some great points.
Oh, his points are amazing. You have got to read this email.
Now, Ben,
yes.
Now, you've been talking to voters in Arleta for the past day or so. What kind of reception are you, and what are some of the challenges that you're hearing?
I think that they honestly just face the predicament that a lot of us in LA County are in. We all think we're by ourselves. And I'm very, very, very hopeful that me getting out there, talking to them, and letting them know, hey, you're not alone, is giving me a big boost, honestly, because they're excited to see me.
Republican?
Yes.
Okay. But that's what I was saying. You're not alone. I wasn't really sure what the context was. You're not alone.
Well, sometimes I'll tell people, hey, you know, you don't like that burnt down building like across the street from you, right? And, sometimes you lead it in more moderate. But if you see, you know, things that are like more patriotic, you can let them know that, hey, yeah, like there's even a club out there.
Tell us a little bit about that burned out building, because I think you brought up a good point about NIMBYism and that there's a reason for it.
Yes. So, unfortunately, a lot of times when these things happen, the residents don't know what's happening. You know, somebody will apply for, you know, Los Angeles City program for the homeless and stuff. And then, you know, when citizens find out, you know, they get up in arms and like, no, 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 not in my backyard. And I understand it has to go someplace. But, yeah, that neighborhood I was in, we see what happens when these things are put in neighborhoods without the residents' consideration. And it's just so sad. I mean, when I was walking by, I didn't know if anybody died in the fire. So
now this, what was it, a single family home?
It was a two-story house, I believe. Yeah, right. It could have probably multiple families, honestly. Mm-hmm. A lot of times people in LA duplex things, right? But yeah, I assumed it was a single family home, and you know, it's tragedy. And I actually saw, I believe, the owner out there. I didn't know if it was the owner, but he was inspecting something. So, you know, it was the owner, a city inspector, and I said hi and stuff like that. And he was kind of like, oh, okay, you know, just kind of brushed me off. He smiled. But, yeah, as I went around the neighborhood, yeah, I found out what happened.
What happened?
Oh, man. So, unfortunately, I mean, I think us people who, you know, we use our brain cells, like we know what happens when, you know, drug addicts, they do not get the treatment that they need before you place them someplace. They keep doing drugs. And unfortunately, yeah, the drug addicts, they burnt the house down. I was told there was prostitution there. Lord. And it's a family, you know, street. You know, they got kids. And it was terrible.
So I guess what I'm trying to understand is somebody applied to make that like a halfway house?
Halfway house, sober living house, oh, something. I don't really know.
No, but it was something to that degree. So
yes.
It wasn't like a family lived in it and they had a family member that had a drug problem.
No.
Okay. I just wanted to be kind of clear.
We should clear that up. Yeah, yeah. It wasn't just some rogue family.
We kept saying single home, and I'm like, okay, was there a family in it? I don't understand. Well, but no. You know what, Ben, you bring up that great point. There's a lot of people that want to take their properties. They're going to, mm-hmm. they get guaranteed income. It's a second property. Rather than renting it out to some renter or tenant that says, oh, I'm on a 3-year moratorium, I don't have to pay my rent, they rent it to the government as a halfway house, whether it's the city or whomever. And like you said, this is what you found out that happened. And everyone in the neighborhood's like, why all of a sudden do we have drug dealers on our street?
Yep. And they had, you know, like I said, prostitutes and even doing drugs while pregnant, I heard.
That was awful.
Yeah.
That is awful. Well, you know, thank you for walking and talking to the voters and letting them know.
Got no choice.
Were they surprised to see you? Like, there's no election going on right now. Uh-huh. Nothing. They were surprised to see, oh my gosh, we got some guy knocking on a door about voting. What's up with that?
I think a lot were, because, you know, the whole cycle that we just went through was, you know, pretty intense. At least I felt it was intense. Maybe it's just because, you know, I had my ear to the, you know, I was out there doing.
No, it was intense. Okay. It was intense for all
okay,
of us.
Okay, got it. So,
and maybe it's because everyone here was running for something.
That's also true.
So, did you knock on the door and say, hi, I'm a Republican. How are you registered? What did you do?
Oh, no. I actually just said, hey, did you know that, you know, your previous city council member, they resigned. And
I see.
Yeah, so I let them know what's going on. And then I tell them, hey, you know, we're just trying to, you know, have good people replace them, not more of the same. Like, you know, the city council member resigned for a reason. And, we want to have somebody that actually cares about you, you know, actually wants to have meetings and not hide.
Right.
You know, there are so many politicians hiding over the last 3 years. It's just disgusting. And so, you know, people, like, they perk up. It's like, okay, well, I'm not actually voting for him yet. So, of course, I'll sign it. I'm pretty sure I
so you were collecting signatures for someone trying to get on the ballot.
Yes.
Okay.
To replace.
I knew we were going to get down that road.
Yes, of course. Yeah.
And did you guys manage to get all 40 signatures? How many did you need?
Oh.
Do you need 40?
You know, this man, he needs 500 signatures.
Oh, this is the five. Oh, that's right.
He needs
500.
500 signatures.
And how many signatures were you able to get?
I think so far, me personally, I've gotten, I want to say 50. Something like that, 50 or 60.
That's not bad.
So, I mean, it's raining after all, too. So I think some people are just
listen,
like,
God
sure,
bless you for getting out there in the rain and going, I don't care.
Yeah, that's what we've been doing for the past few days. And I've been getting calls. Like you said, I don't have a life. But it's unfortunate because people should think that this is a priority because, you know, the New Year is coming and everything's great. But the way we're going is not good with politically, obviously. So that's my priority, is to try to get, you know, things right in our communities. And I'm not even from Marlita or that area. I mean, I even told them I'm
this
is not
my help, and that,
exactly,
and that's important.
Exactly.
Right, we've got someone calling in who's out on the road working, and he must have a break, so he's going to call in real quick.
Okay. Out in the trenches.
He's out there in the trenches. Now this is close to home. This is Jeremy. You're on the air live with myself and Jeffy, and we got a couple of guests in here.
Hey, Jeremy.
Oh, hey, how's it going?
Good. Happy New Year.
Dogs out here right now.
What do you do that you're out in the rain?
I'm driving Lyft. Yep.
Oh, you're driving Lyft. Okay. It took me a minute. I'm like, yeah, what's he lifting? What are you lifting?
Yep.
Very cool. Well, I was thinking, what are you lifting? So you're lifting people from one location to another.
Oh, yeah, right.
Well, you know what? Good for you for working tonight, keeping the drunk people in cars safely with other drivers other than themselves behind the wheel. That's a good thing. So what made you call in?
I asked him. I wanted to warn people. Yeah. There's a really bad scam going around that I actually fell victim to. And it involved, I run a small eBay business, and I use a lot of PayPal to take my payments. And so what happened was, you know, I have all the apps on my phone. I have the PayPal app, the eBay app. And I wake up one morning and I'm getting these charges on my PayPal. It's alerting me, you know, $29.99 charge. And then like 5 minutes later, there was another charge for $29.99. And then there was a bigger charge for like $59.99. And this is going on, like, you know, every 5 minutes I was getting nailed with some charge that I didn't recognize. So what happened is I go in the app and I'm looking for the customer support number. And I'm panicking, you know, I got to call these people and have my account frozen. And so while I'm looking for the customer support number, my phone rings and it's a PayPal security department. And they said, you know, we want to warn you, your account's been compromised. It looks like there's some fraudulent charges. And I said, yeah, you know, I see that happening right now. Well, what do I have to do about this? And they go, well, we're going to freeze your account. And, Are you guys still there?
No, we're listening. No, we're listening.
Okay, great. And so they said, you know, we're going to run some tests and we're going to do some, you know, trace some IPs and all this stuff and, you know, all this technical stuff. And I'm actually a tech guy. Like, I worked in computers for almost 20 years. So, I mean, I'm shocked that I actually fell for this scam. But anyhow, the guy's telling me that I've got to download this support tool from PayPal on the App Store, and he's going to, oh, we're going to walk you through it, and we're going to clean all the malware. You have malware on your phone, and the hackers were able to tunnel in through open Wi-Fi if you're using.
Sounds pretty official.
Yeah, you know what I mean? And I'm going, oh, my God, thank God, you know, these guys are going to help me. Meanwhile, I didn't even realize these are the scammers on the phone.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Totally. It happened to a client of mine.
As the PayPal. Yeah. And so
I told her, hang up the phone.
I know, but I'm kind of like,
you get sucked in.
I got sucked in. I'm thinking, well, what if these guys were really helping me, you know? And so I download the support tool and they get on my phone and I'm watching them manipulate my phone, and they open up my PayPal, and see them start typing in a dollar amount.
Oh my gosh.
And I'm going, hey, what are you doing? You know, and the guy, oh, you know, sir, this is just a test. It's not really sending.
And they
money.
Cleaned out your bank account.
They sent 20. Like, I only had about $1,500 in my checkings, but they tried to send themselves like $2,500.
Oh my gosh.
And what ended up happening is, since I have a credit card linked with my credit union, it overdrafted, and it pulls from the credit card to protect the overdraft. And so, you know, long story short, I end up hanging up the phone. I call back PayPal. I go, hey, you know, did you guys call me? No, we didn't. Then I realized I got scammed. So I had fraud protection through PayPal, so they're able to get a few thousand dollars back. But through my bank, since the, you know, it was pulling from the credit card. I explained everything to them, and they said, oh, you know, there's really nothing we could do about that. And so, you know, I got kind of screwed for about, you know, $1,500 or something. But lesson learned, you know, that's a warning to people out there.
Yeah, I have a PayPal account, and I don't know how they did it, but they got a hold of my PayPal account and took me for about $1,500. Yeah. The difference is that I know PayPal, and I've kind of found out through different times that I was probably getting scammed. Mm-hmm. And I've called them, yeah, and I've let them know. And as a result of that, I've gotten very lucky. My bank shut down an account I had for 22 years. I was really upset. And I was more upset about losing an account that I'd had for so long. PayPal will not call you. Venmo will not call you. No one's going to call you and tell you there's a scam going on. You need to call the number, and you could do it through your computer versus your phone if you can, because sometimes they'll go through your phone and put in a fake app. They can do all kinds of very crazy things, but go through a different source than the whatever it is you're using for your PayPal. Well, sorry that happened to you. Keep arguing with your bank. You might still win.
Yes.
I know. It's crazy, and it's just terrible because it's right around the holidays, and that's just it's a social engineering scam is what they call it.
Yeah. Yep. Well, we have someone on hold on our other line. We're so glad that you called in to let us know.
Thank you, Jeremy.
Have yourself a happy new year and drive safely.
Yeah.
Okay.
Happy new year, everyone.
Yep. Happy new year.
Bye, Jeremy.
Happy new year.
Yeah, that has, and we don't hear about that a lot, but it's happening all the time.
Yep.
Yep, and we are now headed for a break, and we're already down a half an hour. What do you know?
And we'll be right back with Tara Martinez-Fernandez. So don't go away. We'll be right back with Tara. And we're also making some adjustments on Facebook. So those of you that are watching, we know what's happening. And we're back. And Jeffy, I want to introduce you to somebody who I recently met. Now, you know her father, and that's Emilio. So welcome, Tara. Can you hear us?
Yes, I can. Can you hear me?
Yes, we can.
I'm in a pretty noisy place.
Well, it is New Year's Eve. So tell us a little bit about yourself, Tara.
Oh, yeah. What'd you say? Oh, tell me. Okay. I think one of the things that I'd like to talk about, I mean, is it just like free for all? Can I just talk about whatever I want? Like, or is it like...
Well, first of all, we want people to know who you are because we plan on hearing more from you. We definitely want you to come into the station. So know you're 22. You're at the end of the Gen Z group, and you used to be a very left wing liberal.
Yeah, that's true. So I actually, I was very left wing, very liberal, and I even like attended the giant women's march. It happened in 2017, and, I hated Donald Trump, all that stuff. But anyway, then I got pregnant at 18, and I was going to go get an abortion, a lot of people told me it wasn't a big deal, and, Planned Parenthood told me it was, an unideal, form of birth control, so I listened to them, and I trusted that, and then on the way there, I changed my mind, and I drove away, and an organization helped me. Who, now I had nothing, no money, barely any education. It was just like a big mess. And this organization reached out to me and they helped me with everything I needed for a baby. And so I don't know. I just kind of make it my goal now to try and tell people about that, because I always say if Planned Parenthood lived up to their name, they would have the list of phone numbers that you could call when you're a woman in crisis, But they don't have that. So I guess I'm taking it upon myself to put that out there.
Well, and you're 22, and now you're conservative. I mean, it seems like there's something is changing. It isn't all lost.
Yeah. I mean, I notice with most people's age, Democrat is kind of the default, I just noticed that. If you're a decent person, you're going to be Democrat, unless you're racist or something, I have kind of found a crowd that's my age, a little bit, who's Christian, so they were raised on Christian values, mainly anti-abortion. I have this one friend and she's also a mom. She's 26 though, so I guess she kind of more counts as a millennial. But, she's with me in a lot of this stuff. And then I went to Turning Point recently, Turning Point USA.
Right.
The largest conservative gathering, free thought, whatever. But there were a lot of people there, but they definitely kind of fit in this category of kid who goes to Princeton and wears a suit everywhere and looks like the future CEO, you know, and is like kind of snobby. Like, I saw a lot of that there. But, and that's kind of one thing that used to turn me off to conservatives, because I was like, I'm not that. I don't, you know, I don't want to be like that. You know, I don't want to be grouped in with these people. I think I actually think they were like sexist and racist, you know, but, decided now to just like stand for like biblical values, because the Bible is really your sword and your shield, and it's all you need. It's like, amen, all the equipment you need to face all of this, you know.
You're getting some nods over here from Claudia.
Yes, exactly.
Good.
So, yeah, well, you know, and so one of the things we want to do is we want to have you come in studio, and you know, I can hear, you know, the kids are in the background, so it's nice.
Yeah.
You're there with the family, and you have what, four generations there in the household, or three?
Well, yes, I do live in a house with like my grandma, my parents, my husband, and I, and my two kids. Yes, I do live. We're definitely beaner packing, I guess you could say.
Well, and you know, before I let you go, one point that I want to bring out is I saw that initially your husband, who was your boyfriend at the time, believed that men should have no say so, or just
yes, that's very true.
When a woman decides to get an abortion, and that yeah. was his thinking, and you know, thank God that you took the position that you did, because now he's there to enjoy his child.
Children.
Yeah, oh, sorry,
plural.
To interrupt.
But, yeah.
But yeah, his view changed drastically too. I mean, how do you meet your daughter? And if you care about your daughter, you're gonna like see how wrong it all is, you know? You stop drinking the Kool-Aid, you know what I mean?
Yeah.
you like can't unsee it. Like, so he's pretty conservative too now, you know.
All right, excellent. Well, thank you, Tara. Say hi to your family, and we'll talk to you very soon.
I absolutely will. Thank you for having me.
Okay.
Okay, bye.
Now, Jeffy, on the line, waiting patiently, let's bring on, with Capital Watch, Jennifer Kennedy.
Hi, Jennifer. Happy
Hello.
New Year.
Hello, everybody.
Hi.
Hi there.
Hey,
hi,
Jennifer.
Hey, Happy New Year's Eve. Great to be with you.
Happy New Year.
So what's going on? Are you partying in Tuscany, bringing in the New Year? Or
just partying in rainy Pasadena. Uh-huh. Just having a little family time and staying dry on this rainy, rainy night. Wish I was in studio, but it's great to be with you on the air. Mm-hmm. And, you know, you guys, a little earlier, our state Senate candidate, Claudia Agraz, right there in studio, you guys were speaking of the bill about concealing criminal records, which is essentially just another way of coddling criminals and being soft on crime. And it brings me right to what I wanted to do tonight, which was talk about the soft on crime attitude in California that just resulted in the senseless and tragic yes. loss of a sheriff's deputy this past week. I want to honor the life of Riverside County Sheriff's Deputy Isaiah Cordero. He was a motorcycle deputy who was killed on December 29 in a routine traffic stop. And this was the first line-of-duty fatality in at least 10 years for the Riverside Department. And I know I certainly, and all of us here at the program, send our heartfelt condolences out to his loved ones, his family, his friends, and his fellow deputies and the law enforcement community. It just can't be overstated that this senseless loss of this 32-year-old young man, a public servant with a girlfriend and a full life in front of him, could have been avoided, because his killer was who I will say is dead himself. So we'll get to that in a second. But he was a violent career criminal who would have been behind bars if a judge had just done her job. Because last year, in 2021, Deputy Cordero's killer had been convicted on a third strike, and that third strike involved kidnapping and assault with a deadly weapon, and he had an extensive, decades-long criminal past that was violent and with literally no redemption, no change. He had an extensive violent past. He should have been behind bars
for 25 years to life, but a San Bernardino judge didn't do her job. And instead, with this killer in front of her, she dismissed certain felony counts, and she lowered his bail. And that combination allowed his release to the streets instead of the criminal being behind bars where he belonged. And so Deputy Cordero's life was taken by a man who rightfully should have been in prison for life. What prisons are for? And this needless death of this young man is a direct consequence of the leftist policies that we see infecting California and certainly infecting L.A. County and Southern California that are soft on crime. These leftist policies that result in judicial appointments and the retention of judges who aren't doing their jobs. And it's a direct consequence of policies from the top down,
yes,
like Governor Newsom's insistence on getting prisoners back on the streets and reducing the jail population, which in turn releases people like these animals to the wild, basically, to do this type of tragic killing of our public servants. So I want to honor the life of Deputy Cordero and remind our listeners, you know, our listeners know full well it's these kind of policies that result in this type of loss. We don't need to remind them that every judge, every vote matters, every person that we elect matters. We just need to let our neighbors know, yes, that, yep, this is the type of,
exactly,
thing we see when we put these people in office. So, shifting gears, earlier you guys were also joking about how here we are on the air on Christmas Eve, which goes to show that we have no life, but you know,
New Year's Eve. Eve. New Year's Eve.
We were Christmas
we
Eve, too.
We do have a life, right? We do have a life, and that's why I'm on. We value this role that we are so honored to fill, which is, you know, to inform and empower our listeners in Southern California and beyond about these issues that we face and what we can do about it. And I just wanted to say to everybody out there, one of our traditions is to watch It's a Wonderful Life with Jimmy Stewart, which for those of you who don't know and who doesn't, it's the story of George Bailey, the businessman in desperate circumstances who is thinking of ending it all because he thinks people would be better off without him, and he thinks his life has not had any effect on others. But his guardian angel, Clarence, comes down from heaven and shows him just how important his life was and how each of his small actions had ripple effects on other people and how he really, really has been serving such a wonderful point in life, and that everything he did has affected other people. And that's what I am thinking about here on New Year's Eve, that people like you, Claudia, people like David, people like Jeffy, people like Ben, people like every one of our candidates for office out there, everything you've done has affected other people and has made positive change in our neighborhood, in our county, in our state. And I say to everybody, keep doing it and keep knowing that every conversation you have with others is having an effect. Every post you write on Facebook or on Twitter or on Instagram is having an effect. And everybody is doing what they can to create these ripple effects of awareness and positive change. And that's all we can expect to do and expect to hope for in our lives. So I say thank you to you guys for being in studio tonight. Thank you to everyone out there who is making a change, making an effort to make a difference. And I applaud you, and I say you are making a difference. And I just wish everybody a wonderful 2023 and a fantastic New Year's Eve tonight. We all have a life, right?
Yep.
Thank you.
We're happy to spend it this way.
Yeah, before you go, we've only got a couple hours left of 2022, but you are kicking off 2023 on January 4th with a little small event that people might be interested in attending.
Oh, yes.
That's exactly right. You mean in Sacramento. Is that what you mean?
Yep.
Yes, just a reminder, we talked about it last week, a reminder that up in Sacramento, there are many, many grassroots organizations joining up at the Capitol to start our year of advocacy and engagement with our legislators, reminding them we're still out here, we're not stopping, we're going to prevent you from putting bad bills into place, and we are going to be up here engaging with our legislators in Sacramento to remind them of our values and our mission in California to stop the anti-parent agenda that we saw coming out, to stop the COVID protocols and the vaccine push and a mandate still for the COVID vaccine. That's what's happening up on in Sacramento on January 4th. I want everybody to join us up there. Also on January 5th, I see that the California Parents Union is having a day of action even the next day. So if you can't make it on the 4th, come up on the 5th.
All right.
So yes, thanks David for mentioning that.
Off to
we'll
a start.
See you up there.
You just
got to
hope Southwest doesn't cancel your flights.
There you go.
You might be driving.
Right?
Yep. All right. Thank you, Jennifer.
Thank you, Jennifer, for that wonderful message. It was very, very positive and very encouraging and uplifting. Thank you for everything that you do. I look forward to your updates every weekend. So thank you for everything.
Oh, thank you, Claudia, and you too. I appreciate it. Happy New Year, everybody.
All right. Happy New Year.
So one of the things that 2022 was, boy, your product line has really taken off, Jeffy.
Yeah, it's been okay.
Mm-hmm.
It's doing okay.
I mean, and you've got these, and we were talking about, you got these new things that you're making your own stuff.
I now have real, honest to God, lab equipment. I actually have something arriving next week.
Nice.
So, you know, hopefully soon I'll have to find a place to manufacture.
Something to look forward to in 2023.
Yes, I'll be doing some farmers markets, and hopefully I'm going to be looking for people that will be able to do some of the, I mean, I can't do them all myself. So
right.
The goal is to hopefully have people that will go out and do sales and whatnot and set up, and we'll see
right.
What goes.
Yep, excellent. Now, Ben,
yes.
You know, as 2022, I mean, a lot of things happened in 2022. I mean, the most recent was the prior pope passed away, I guess, today.
I thought it was the pope that died. And then I was like, they said pope, and I'm like, well, how many popes are there? Well, I forgot about the pope
that stepped down
and said, I'm out.
Right.
And they said this is the first time in 600 years that they have had a pope that rescinded his popeship or whatever it is, right?
Wow.
And then they said this is the first time they've ever had a sitting pope bury a previous pope, because they're usually not poped.
Wow. Yeah,
it's so very interesting.
It was that, and then we some of the people that we lost this year: Ray Liotta,
mm-hmm.
Ann Hesch, a lot of friends of mine. Mm. You know, you guys never met Jeffers Dodge. He was like one of the original Santa Monica conservative.
We lost Lars.
Yeah, we lost Lars. Wow. I mean, there was so many.
Barbara Walters.
I was going to say, you know, Barbara Walters too.
Yeah, but you know what's happening more, and there is no. I mean, I'm not aware of any scientific correlation yet, but more and more people are starting to question. All these young people are dying.
There's a lot of
vaccinated.
Who's the young reporter that during the soccer tournament? He was a reporter.
Right.
He was what, 42 or 47? Mm-hmm. Then you have another individual who was in the media that was 37 that just 30 died.
30 something, couple, right?
No, 37 died a couple days ago.
Yes,
yeah.
A lot of sudden.
But you know, I wonder. No one's talking about whether or not they were vaccinated.
Well, I mean, and some
now of said it's no, not important.
They,
it's
they
my
are.
It's my personal business.
No, you're
can't
being
talk
very
about
insensitive
or not.
Because it's also, you know, climate change and all that, Jeffy. So you know.
Well, but you're seeing people that were so. I mean, even
climate change, because we've got freezing weather. The Niagara Falls has frozen over. Yet we have climate change. We've got, what is it, climate warming or something?
Yep.
Global warming.
It's
warming.
One or the other. Yes, exactly.
And, but so many people that were like that, that were so like, if you even questioned whether the vaccines were safe, they would come down on you. And all
they
of a
did.
Sudden now they're at least saying, you know what? This is like, okay, we're finding out why they have these extended testing programs for pharmaceuticals.
Yeah.
And now I guarantee you, 2023 coming up, I guarantee you they're going to blame it on Trump.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
He's back, you know, Trump is back, and they're going to start saying, well, it was warp speed. It was Trump and Fauci that worked together.
Well, but of course they are, because now you got the January 6th people that pulled the subpoena. Mm-hmm. And then they launched his tax returns, and
it was a big,
let down, flat.
We're the only ones talking about it right now.
You know what I find interesting is that no one's talking about Trump at all. Ironically, I'm not hearing anything. I'm not seeing anything about him running. It's like been very quiet.
I think that, us being political junkies, I think we're talking about it, but you know, inflation's so high right now. I mean, what is it? I think that, I don't know the average price of eggs, but I mean, I paid $8
for eggs.
Yeah,
$8.99.
If you can get them. Yeah. Yes. And milk is expensive.
You know what?
Right
I have two clients that decided to put chickens in their backyard, so they're bringing eggs.
What?
Yep.
Yeah, just so anybody knows, it is legal for you in LA City and LA County to have a chicken coop in your backyard.
Yeah, coyotes
and they
have
are
to eat
super,
too. So.
But they're super easy to take care of. They're not. Right. They're not a high maintenance. My girlfriend's got ducks and chickens, and she goes, "I love the ducks, but they are so much more work than the chickens."
Really? Mm.
And they're cute chickens. She's got, you know, they got the little fluffy heads, and they're like they're decorative chickens, and they lay eggs. I was like, "Who knew?"
Yeah, so I think most people are worried about, you know, just like the basic things. I mean, yeah, everybody's having a little bit of, you know, a little bit of break from normal life with the holidays, you know, but you know, those credit cards, you know, those things add up.
Yeah. Hey, well, wait a minute. This is the end of the year. Weren't we supposed to get some money from
Gavin
Newsom for the?
I know. Right. Where's that $1,000? It was $1,042 for every card that you're driving. It was your gas relief.
Exactly.
That
yeah, whatever happened
never
to
came.
That.
I don't know. Personally, I'm waiting on Gavin Newsom's reparation promise. That'll never happen.
Well, Claudia and I won't have to pay.
What are you talking about? What am I?
Well, but you're.
Why would I have to pay?
Because you're white.
Oh, yeah, you're white privileged. Yeah.
Yeah. You know how that goes. But the fact is that people are really going to feel it tomorrow morning.
Yep.
Why? Claudia, what is the favorite dish, the hair of the dog dish on New Year's Day?
Bloody
ding,
Mary.
Dong, ding. No, Menudo.
I'm thinking, okay.
You know how much Menudo costs now? Oh, my God. You go to James Restaurant in San Fernando, which by my calculations is the best Menudo in Los Angeles.
Okay.
And
do you eat Menudo?
I don't eat Menudo.
Thank you. See, I'm
I
not
smell
the only
Menudo,
one.
But I don't eat Menudo.
I don't smell it
or Menudo
eat it.
Or Pozole?
Pozole.
Oh, no. Come on. What kind of Latina
Mexican
are you?
Am I,
we're going to start calling you Latin.
Latinx.
Not Latinx. Latinx didn't fly.
Oh, okay.
So it's Latin.
No, I just love Pozole.
Latinx.
I love it how you have it with the tostadas as well. You know, it's so good.
Menudo, you got to have menudo sin pata. And
yeah, well, I made 70. I made 70 enchiladas 2 days ago.
Oh,
so
wow.
You know what?
Oh, really nice.
Yes, and I actually had someone Hispanic who ate them and liked them.
Oh,
wow!
Well, nice. But you're a good cook anyway. So
no, I have an aunt that was from Guadalajara, Mexico.
Mm-hmm. Wow. Oh, so you don't have to pay. All right.
There you go.
No, I know
you
how
have
to
brown blood in the family.
Right. Oh my gosh.
No, there's just so, and there's a lot, you know, a lot to look forward to in 2023. I think, you know, a lot of people are coming to their senses.
Yes.
Out of the pain at the pump.
Yes.
And, you know, any day now we could probably get the mask back. I know it's strongly recommended.
Yeah, exactly.
But, you know, and what variant
well,
are
hey,
we on now?
Well, hey, let's look at the fact that you got the guy that stole billions of dollars in Bitcoin.
Oh,
yeah. He's arrested, and they extradited him.
Well, and, no,
and he's not out on bail. But you know what? You know what I think is some of the greatest news that we've had. So 6 weeks ago, we had 4 college students that were murdered, and they couldn't figure it out.
That's right.
And 2 days ago, yesterday or 2 days ago, they arrested who they absolutely believe is the man that killed these 4 college students.
Yeah.
Which
tragic.
I have a lot of clients who have kids that are away at college, and they were horrified. They were concerned. Mm-hmm. They were worried, and. You know, it's going to be interesting to see how that unwraps itself.
Right.
Because he was going for his PhD in criminology.
Mm.
Oh, my gosh.
Hey, I'm not an advocate of college, so there you go.
Well, you know,
trade schools.
Ben, when you were talking to those people about that house that had burnt down in Arleta, and, you know, and that was, and there are a lot of people. I know our friend Maria Fisk over in the West Valley.
He's pointing at me.
That, well, because she was one of your supporters when you ran for supervisor.
Yeah.
That her big concern were these group homes that were in these residential neighborhoods because, I mean, I think what you told me was the owner of that house was having it filled with drug addicts. I mean, they try and use homeless as some Teflon type of or tofu type of thing, but really the fact was that they had what all sorts of challenged people in there, right?
Yes, absolutely. And in my opinion, the people, like I said, they just didn't know. They couldn't do anything about it once it was there. Mm-hmm. And then the repercussions, you know, just transpired. And I actually found out it was actually maybe 2 weeks ago that this happened. So it was fresh. Wow. It looked freshly burned, but you know, I don't know, you know.
Well, you know, listen, if you've got that neighbor, the nosy neighbor that you always find irritating, the one that's always looking out their window and asking you 20 questions, be grateful for them. Because typically they're the people that know that that home's going down in your neighborhood, and they're the first one to call the city and go, not my neighborhood.
Exactly.
So, you know, embrace that individual that you may find a little irritating in your neighborhood, because chances are they know. And they're not the one that's going to take the petition out and get the neighborhoods to sign. But you could be that person that gets the petition to sign because you found out from that neighbor that they knew what was going on.
Yes. And it's of the utmost importance, especially now with all these new laws about to happen during the start of the year that are going to just even further weaken law enforcement. Talk to your neighbor. You guys got to become, you know, your best buds.
Hey, listen, if you've got a house going up for sale in your neighborhood, find out who's buying it. If it's a builder, find out what their intentions are and what they're doing.
Yes.
Because if they're going to put in one of those SB9, SB10 units, that means they're probably going to do something about what they just did in Arleta, where they're going to put in a halfway house with an apartment or whatever. I mean, I think it was good. Was it, I forget the name of the county, Alameda County. Alameda County was the one. Alameda County was what I read. They were the ones that passed the law as of January 1st, 2023, that you can no longer, as a building owner, apartment owner, and this affects you. Well, it doesn't affect you, David, because you're not in Alameda, but it's going to come to LA, that you can no longer ask about people's criminal records. And if you have someone in your household that is getting out of prison, you can no longer, as the homeowner, if I rent you my house, Ben, and Claudia just gets out of prison and she moves in with you because she's your wife, I can no longer call you and say, Ben, I'm sorry, you need to move because we don't allow criminals in Alameda County. You can't do that. So coming to a county near you, LA, I guarantee you LA County will be next.
Talk to your neighbors, guys.
There's the music. The first hour's
now gone. We're going into hour number two. And we've got Don Carlos in the house.
That's right. Don is here. So stay tuned. You've been listening to the Los Angeles Hispanic Republican Club New Year's Eve show
on AM 870, The Answer.
Three-star general Michael J. Flynn, head of the Pentagon Intelligence Agency, knew all the government's dirty secrets.
He was one of the most respected generals in the military.
Flynn knew what the intel world had been up to. He understood its funding.
He ordered the first audit of the use of contractors. This set off alarm bells.
The explosive new documentary, Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost, and covers the facts behind this scandal.
Flynn told the truth. He was the most dangerous person for Donald Trump to hire.
I find out the worst enemy that I'm going to face in my life is right here in America. They took my assessment and they wanted me to change it. And I was like, I'm not changing it.
They had to get rid of Flynn.
With in-depth interviews, archival footage, and never-before-seen personal records of the man behind the headlines.
I just felt like I was drowning.
Flynn, Deliver the Truth, Whatever the Cost. Available now. Watch it today. Go to SalemNow.com. SalemNow.com.